God's love. We're talking about God's love. And, you know, some people, I think, you know, when they come to church, they just say, well, that topic I heard once before. And you know what? There's a lot of topics you've heard, but you haven't exhausted them yet. And what I have to say today depends a lot on you. Did you know that? You know, a lot of times I think people think that everybody, you know, maybe some do, but I don't. I'm not canned. God didn't can me. And He gave me the desire to be able to change with Him and say what He has to say. And there may be something you have need of today. There may be something that you're needing today that I don't know anything about. But God knows. He knows what you need to hear. He knows if I say things one way, it could help some. If I say things another way, it could help others. If I say some things, it might help nobody. So I want to say the things that help you. Because I'm here today as a vessel. And I believe that God has given me a tongue as the pen of a ready writer. That's what the scripture calls it. That sounds like a modern day ballpoint, doesn't it? A ready writer. But God has given me a tongue that He can write through, that He can speak to you through. And I'm not the only one that has that. But it does make a difference what you're expecting for. You could sit out here today and just say, I wish He'd get done. And that's probably all you'll get out of this service. You'll sit there with a tired rear end wishing I was done. But if you say, you know, I want some answers today, Lord. And I'm expecting some answers today. And I'm expecting some new revelation. I believe if you'll draw, the Lord will give it. Because there's a lot of things I haven't said yet, you know. And this message I've got today, I ought to be just rushing right into it right now because it's so big. And I don't want to go a long time today. I want to be done at a reasonable time. But at the same time, you know, I want to say what He wants me to say. How many of you agree with that? I want to say what He wants me to say today. So Father, right now we just yield ourselves, not just me, the one that's going to be speaking this morning, but to all of those that are here and others that may speak out and others that will draw the Word of God into this sphere today, Lord. And we pray, Father, today that You will just open the eyes of our heart and our understanding to receive the things of the Spirit. We'd be careful to thank You for it today, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, we know that in Shema, we have the words, and you shall love Yahweh your God with all of your heart. With all of your, we say being. It's really your, nafshika is your life, your soul. It's the life part, nafshika, nefesh, the nefesh. And with all your meodeka, which is probably best translated, your muchness, your resources, all that there is to do with you. So you've got the part of you that's your heart. You've got the part of you that is your soulish part, which is the mind of you. And then you've got everything that pertains to you. You know, it would be your possessions. It'd be your time. All of those things. We want to love God with all of those things. And the Scripture says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we've been looking as we've talked at this. By the way, there's much to learn about the love. How many know we haven't even scratched the surface? The love of God. And so we have to believe, because of this, that we'll get more revelation. You know, God, that's the way He teaches us. He doesn't just teach us by just what we think of as schoolwork where you memorize. He teaches us by revelation. And whether you know it or not, much of what you learned in school, when you really got it, it was revealed to you, wasn't it? Something happened one day. How many of you went through your times tables and you just worked and worked and worked to memorize, and then all of a sudden you found out there's some tricks? You began to understand it. When you multiply by 9, there's a trick, isn't there? Everybody know about the tricks when you multiply by 9? Every one of them has something that you can, and revelation comes. And so it is with the Word of God. You know, we can look at it and look at it and look at it. And sometimes we look at the same words over and over. In fact, I guarantee to you today that if you continue to meditate, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, that you're going to get new revelation on it. May not happen today, but if you continue to meditate it, you're going to see some things. I was walking around the lake yesterday, and God showed me some new things about that part. He began to teach me. I don't know if they'll come out here today or not. It's not important because they probably weren't given for you, but they were given for me. And He'll reveal things to you. And you see, a lot of people are just happy with milk. What is milk? Paul came to the Corinthians in the first letter that he wrote them, and he said, actually, it wasn't the first letter he wrote them. We found out the other day he had written another one, but the first one that's recorded for us. And Paul said, I'd like to bring you some deeper teaching, but you're not ready for it because you're immature. You're only milk Christians. You can only receive the milk of it. But I want to believe God for strong meat. How about you? How many of you like a steak now and again? I like a steak. Praise God. And so when we read these things, we've got to do it. And I believe when we're ready for it, He'll reveal it. I believe when we come to the point of maturity that it can be revealed to us, He'll do it. Now, you may recall that I started out a few weeks ago teaching you on faith, a number of weeks ago, talking about faith. And you may have thought I moved from faith to love, but actually I'm still talking about faith. Did you know that? Because faith works by love, doesn't it? Faith works by love. What was the first thing we've taught around here about faith? Faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing by the Word of God. The commandment, Torah. So that's what we began to understand, that faith and the Word are vitally connected, aren't they? You can't have faith that's God kind of faith without the Word of God. Well, it's equally true that you cannot work in faith without the love of God. Faith worketh by love. That's what Galatians 5:6 tells us. So Yeshua tells us in John 13:34 that He's given us a new commandment. A new commandment. Not new in the words of it, but new. So the word is not new in that it is new in... It's kind of like the wineskins. You know, there's a different way that the wineskins are new. The new wine and the new wineskin. The wine is new in age. The wine skin is new in quality. And I believe what Yeshua is giving us here in this commandment is new in quality. Because God commanded us in Deuteronomy to love Him, and He commanded us to love. Love's been a part of it. You remember God told the children of Israel in the 19th chapter of Exodus, He said, now the reason I chose you is not because you were the most numerous. Hi there, how are ya? It's great to have you here. Praise God. Glad you made it. It's kind of a job to get here on time, isn't it? When you come from that distance. Oh, well, we welcome you. We're glad you're here, Beth. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, a new commandment is a new in quality commandment. A commandment new in quality. Yeshua teaches us a new things about love. You know, He began to tell us, you know, you don't just love those that love you. Because if you do that, publicans do that. You don't just love those that can do something for you. Because that's not love. Well, it is love. But you know what it's love for? When you can get something done for you, that's love for me, isn't it? You know the old song? I don't know how many of you go back this far, but when I was a kid, there used to be a country western singer that'd sing, I want you, I need you, I love you. You want to know what? The first two things disqualify the third one. If you want and you need, that's for you. That's not love. Love is not about you. Love's not selfish. Haven't you read the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians? Love's not selfish. I want you, I need you, I love you. That's baloney. That's what the boys tell the girls now. I need you. No, that's not love. That's lust. Stay away from that kind of nonsense. That's a lie. If you want somebody, that's just your want and your desire. See, a lot of people think that if everything's going to be all right, it's because everybody's treating them nice. But really, what God's telling us, if you want to have a full life and a happy life, just love others in spite of what you think they've done to you. Just keep loving them. Love those that hurt you. Love those that curse you. Love those that despitefully use you. Love those that you think have failed you. Just keep loving them. Say, it's easy, isn't it? Well, you know it's not easy. We have to allow it to work through us because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. When you got born again, you got a dose of the love of God in the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And as much as you'll let that love out, you can love just like He loves. He says, a new commandment I've given unto you, that you love one another. And that's primarily fellow believers. We're supposed to love everyone, but primarily fellow believers. And He said, do it as I've loved you. And we said, we have to find out how He loves. How does Yeshua love? He says, that's the way I want you to love one another. And then in the 35th verse, He said, By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is the primary witness we have in the world. He said, I'll make you witnesses. Remember? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Well, how many of you ever thought that what He was really doing wasn't just giving you power to cast out devils and power to speak with new tongues and power to heal the sick, but He's giving you the power to love, and through that love, all of those other things will flow. That's a witness, isn't it? Your primary witness. You know, you could do all other kinds of things. Have you ever been around one of these highfalutin ministers that he's kind of like a king? They usher him in and they sit him on his throne, and then the people come by and he touches them kind of like the Pope. And then as soon as it's over with, he's gone. Well, he doesn't care a thing in the world about people. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what's in his heart. But I'm just telling you what it looks like. You know, I've kind of purposed in my heart that I'm not going to be one of those ministers that's hard to get to. I know ministers that won't come into their congregation until the praise and worship's almost over. They come in at the end, and they come up, and they do the word. And you know, I used to think, well, maybe that's what I should do, is stay in and pray all the time until I preach. Just pray and then come out. But I never could do that. You notice where I like to stand is back here. I like to be right here in the middle. In fact, I kind of like to consider myself the head usher. Amen? Because I like to worship God along with everyone else. Don't you? And so we all ought to be that way. You know, if somebody comes in, it shouldn't take somebody assigned to do it to make them feel welcome. Should it? Shouldn't take somebody assigned to do it to help them find a seat and tell them where the restroom is. Amen? Because we're not in this for presentation. I don't care if my presentation's not great. I don't care if there's interruptions on my tapes. Do you? I want to be real. I want to really love. And I'm trying to learn more about how I can love the same way Yeshua loves. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. You know, there's some people in the world that think love is weak. Did you know that? Especially men. I can tell sometimes. I'll go up and hug a guy and I'll say, I love you, brother. And he'll say, I like you too. Let's go get a brew. You know, love's not normal for guys. But you know, we ought to be able to tell one another we love one another. That was one of the things I never quit doing to my dad. Never quit doing it. I got to tell you that until he got older, I didn't kiss him anymore. But as he got older, I'd kiss him. And I really regretted the fact that I didn't. But I could tell my dad, I love you, Dad. I love you. Aaron and I don't have any problem at all telling each other we love each other. Men, I don't have any trouble telling you I love you. We ought to speak our love. Now, it needs to go deeper than speaking, but you know, speaking's the beginning. How many know that? What you say with your mouth's the beginning. You're talking about prosperity, Bob. The beginning of prosperity is starting to talk prosperous. Did you know that? Starting to believe what the Word of God says about it and talk it. Don't always talk about what you don't have. Don't always talk about lack. In fact, don't talk about lack at all. Lack's a lie. Talk about what the Bible says you do have. Amen? That's all we're doing. We're speaking the Word. You know, love's not weak. Did you know love is not? Love is God. How could anybody think love is weak? God is love. Love, 1 Corinthians 13 again, love never fails. Anybody here never fails? Your muscles never fail? No, they'll fail. My intellect has failed me a number of times. But love never fails. Somebody said, well, I loved somebody once and it failed. They didn't love me back. No, it didn't fail. It did exactly what it's supposed to do. You keep loving. You love them and keep loving. The Bible says it doesn't fail. And I believe it, don't you? If I never saw anything, I believe it did what it was supposed to do when I love. I love, praise God. I used to go around saying, God so loves and I love. God so loves the world and I so love the world. I'm getting myself tuned into this because real love never fails. Don't get into that misconceived love of thinking it's about what I can get out of it. That's misconceived. That's not love. That's not love at all. Love is when you don't get a thing out of it, when you can't get a thing out of it. Amen? Now today, we've talked already about love. Loving God is keeping His commandments. Didn't Yeshua say that? He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do my Torah. You'll do my words. You'll do my instructions if you love me. That's a big sign, isn't it? So if He tells us to love one another and we say, well, there are just some people I can't do it. I just can't love them. I'm sorry. I can't forgive them. I'm sorry. Listen. You're shutting yourself off from the love of God to do that. You can't do that. We can't allow that. Loving God is keeping His commandments. If you want to love God, you've got to do what He says. Now, you can't pick and choose either. Some people do that. You know, they have certain favorite parts of Scripture. My favorite Scripture. Well, I have some favorites too. But make sure that your favorites don't exclude others. And if you're carrying bitterness in your heart to one person, one of God's creation, you need to get rid of it. You need to forgive them. You say, how do I do it, Pastor? I really would like to, but I can't. They did something so heinous to me. They spoke such thing, I can't do it. I'm going to tell you how. First, say it. Say, I forgive them. In fact, if you can, just think about them and look right at them. You don't have to have them right in front of you. Look at them and tell them, I forgive you. I forgive you. I do it as Jesus, as God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. How many of you know that God didn't have any reason to forgive you other than the fact that He loved you? So when you look at that person in your thoughts and say, I forgive you, start with it. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have feeling. You may not have any feeling yet at this time. That's all right. But I want you to keep saying it. And if there's someone that's especially, you know, I dare say that if I've spoken this and you've got that person in your life, he's already up before you. She's already up before you. You're already thinking about him. It might even be somebody that already died. But I want you to tell them you forgive them. Speak it. Speak it. Don't allow it to stay in you. You say, why not, Pastor? I mean, it's over with. It's in the past. Didn't you say our past is gone? Yeah, I said your past is gone. But you see, if you've allowed unforgiveness to go on, you're keeping your past. You're not allowing the blood to get to it. Don't fall into that trap. I've got a person that I know that I just can't understand him at all. He just, if somebody gets into it with him in any way, he writes them off. He just absolutely writes them off. He won't talk to them. He doesn't want anything to do with them. I don't understand that. I don't understand that because to my understanding, that is shutting myself off from the love of God. And I can't afford that, people. Can you? If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. You know, you want to get yourself under the law, under the condemnation of the law, walk in unforgiveness. Is that clear enough? You don't want to be under that condemnation. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But Yeshua is the one that said this. If you don't forgive others, then you shall not be forgiven. Don't try to work a way around it. It won't come out. You got to forgive. Amen. So we obey Him. We love Him by keeping His commandments. And secondly, we love God by loving one another. don't we? You can't, we said last week, can you love God if you hate your brother? The Bible says no. The Bible says that your love for God is muted by your hatred for a brother. So you've got to love. You've got to do it. So we've got the two things. Number one, obey Him. And actually the second one is a part of obedience because He's the one that told us to love one another. But now I want to give you something new today. And you can look at it with 1 John chapter 2. I asked you to open your Bibles a long time ago and you've been sitting there with a blank screen, haven't you? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. This is a third part to our loving God. Number one, what is it? Loving God is obeying Him and keeping His commandments. Number two is loving one another. Number three is coming out of this verse right here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, anything that's that strong, you need to pay attention to. Are there any exceptions in that verse? Did God say to us, don't love the world too much? Is that what He said? No, I don't read it that way either. He says, love not. Who's the subject of that sentence? What is the subject in that sentence? You. That's one of those implied subjects. You love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, I believe that has two sides to it. Because I believe the world is a system, but then the things in the world, and for a while I didn't see this, because as Dan said earlier today, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything we see round about us is God's, and so therefore I have great appreciation for all of the things that He made. And by the way, let me just say, I wouldn't probably qualify by anybody's standard of green, but I do believe in being a good steward of creation. Do you? I think we all should. It's not going to be a major topic of our preaching, but I believe in it. Amen? Taking good care of the things that God gave us. But there is a place now where people actually begin to put that which is created above the Creator. And that can happen with a tree. That can happen with fresh water, clean water. That can happen with creation in any way. And, you know, let's just make it the way it is. This New Age teaching about Mother Earth, that's wrong. That's leaving God out of it. And so there is a way that loves the world there. But then I want to talk to you about the primary way, where we talk about what is the world. What is the world? All that is in the world. Verse 16 says, 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, who does the will of God? What we're talking about here, who's doing the will of God? Those that, what? Those that what? Those that love. Those that love God by keeping His commandments. They abide forever. How long is that? That's a long time. After, there is no more time. It still goes on, right? Forever. Le'olam va'ed. World without end. Wow. That's how long that is. So God says, don't try not to love the world. He didn't say, don't let the world have a little bit of your love. He said, don't love the world at all. Don't allow any love for the world. So what is the world? We're talking, and we saw it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In short, it's the world's ways, the world's concepts, the world's ideas, the world's beliefs, the world's systems. And if it's the world systems, and the Bible says up above that the love of the Father is not in that, said those things are not of the Father, so if they're not in it, what would we call those things if the Father's not in them? What? Sin? What else? God's not in it. No God. No God. How many of you have heard of 7-Up? What do they call 7-Up? The Un-Cola. Why do they call it Un-Cola? No cola in it. So what's not in the world? That's right. No God. No God is ungodly. How many of you know the story about Esau? Esau sold his birthright for a kettle of beans, didn't he? He gave away his rights as the firstborn. He actually, the Bible says he despised it. He despised his birthright. He despised the spiritual part of his life. And we don't find out about it until we read about him in Hebrews, but the Bible brands Esau a certain way. It says, don't be as Esau, who was a fornicator and an unclean, or a profane person. A fornicator and profane. Well, I want to tell you that word profane means godless. Godless. Now, that's the world. Now, here's the problem, folks. We live in this world, and we get attuned to certain things. We just kind of see things a little differently. And, you know, we live here, so we're trying to do what's right, and yet at the same time, if we don't watch out, we get ourselves tied into what the world is. And we begin to put the world ahead of God, this system. And we can't do that. We can't do that. Now, let's go look at the other side of it. If you're not worldly, what are you? You're godly, or another way of putting that would be sanctified, or holy. Holy. Now, holiness, on the other hand, has gotten so much religious connotation to it, much because of some of the denominations that call themselves holiness, that we don't know what holiness is anymore. But holiness is something different, isn't it? What is it to be holy unto God? What is sanctification? What is that first cup? I'm going to take you out of Egypt. The first cup of sanctification. What is that? Separation. It's separated, not just from the world, but separated unto God. Now, here's the problem with holiness the way men teach it. When men get a hold of this, they always teach it as a bunch of rules, don't they? It's a bunch of men's rules. And I want to tell you, some of them have very little to do with the word, world. Now, if you've been watching any television lately, you've seen a bunch of women with some weird hairdos. Now, I don't care how they do their hair, make any difference to me how they comb their hair. But I heard the other day that it's considered to be ungodly for them to cut their hair, and then they all wear it the same way. And that is a form of man-made holiness. That is a form of man-made holiness. It doesn't have a word orientation. Well, there's part of the word that talks about that. But that's not what they do is not holiness. When I was a kid, I remember that there was a certain building in town that was not holy. It was the pool hall. In my town, you did not go into the pool hall. You remember where the pool hall was in Strasburg?
No.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to go in there, but I wasn't supposed to. And of course, if you remember the music man, you remember that little saying, you got trouble right here in River City, starts with T and it rhymes with P and it stands for pool, you know? And there were things that went on there. I remember the guys always were spitting and playing poker and gambling, and their language wasn't the best. And they'd spit in a can, smoke cigars. It was a dirty place, nasty place. I don't know if they ever swept the place, except they kept the pool tables clean. They were always nice. But you know what? That really had nothing to do, staying out of there had nothing to do with being sanctified, because it doesn't speak to the other part of unto God. By the way, you know, we get all bent out of shape because somebody cusses. And I don't go along with cussing. I don't like it. I see no reason for it at all. But I want to tell you something. Cussing doesn't keep people out of the kingdom of heaven. It's unbelief that keeps them out of the kingdom of heaven. Somebody might cuss and actually, I believe God would clean them up from it if they stick close to Him. But you know, Have you ever seen anybody that just gets so irate? And I got to tell you, I got to confess to you that I've been like this, you know. That if I'd be sitting in a restaurant and somebody at a table next to me had spout off something and say something, I was ready to get up and go over and have a talk with them, you know, in righteous indignation. Now, you got to make sure you're not a hypocrite. I've heard people say this, I don't want them talking like that around my wife and my children, don't want them talking like that. But make sure you don't go home and turn the television set on and let them sit through the same stuff. Because that's hypocrisy, isn't it? I said, isn't it? I don't like it when I go out and people talk like that, but be honest with you, I don't like it when a busboy makes too much noise when he clears a table either. But that's my taste, right? Don't get bent out of shape about things like that. We want to change people a lot of times into our kind of holiness. And you know what I found out about these real strong holiness churches? And I kind of grew up around this quite a bit, so I know a little bit about what I'm talking away. You know, they had a terminology in there that a lot of denominations don't even talk much about, but they would talk a lot about backslidden and a backslider. People that were backslidden and backsliders, did they have those in your church when you grew up? Did they have backsliders? Did you talk a lot about backsliders? In fact, I remember hearing people get up when I was a kid and stand up and give a testimony in church and say, oh, well, I've been backslidden now for 6 months, but I'm coming back to the Lord tonight and praise God. And well, you know what? Some of the man-made rules that people put on people, it's no wonder they backslide. And I remember people feeling like this. In fact, I probably got into it a little bit myself because I just, you know, I couldn't live up to all the standards that men had. Do you know there's churches that don't allow men to wear short sleeves? Did you know that? See, you haven't been around that because we'll allow you to wear short sleeves here. Don't allow a woman to wear any blousy shorts, funny thing, and no makeup, and the hair's all got to be bundled up on top of the head, and scrub your face. That was called holiness. Well, you know, no wonder people backslide from something like that. That's not really backsliding from God. They're just, but you know, the sad thing is, the lie gets into them, and the guilt overtakes, and finally, you'll hear people say like, I can't live up to it. I'm just going to go to hell. I know I am, but I just can't do anything about it. You ever hear people talk like that? See, I grew up around this kind of stuff. I'd hear people talk this way. And that's because of man-made holiness standards. But what is holiness? What is holiness? It's like being like Messiah. That's what holiness looks like. Being just like Yeshua. That would be the perfection of holiness. To be like Yeshua. To be like the Messiah. To be just like Jesus. The Bible says you have the mind of the Messiah. You have His mind. Now, if you can live out everything that's in His mind and walk that way and think that way, you would be in the perfection of holiness. So, get away from, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this and I can't do that. Because you know what that is? A lot of it's man-made. It may even have the real commandment in it. But what would happen if we started doing it like this? I'm walking so close to You today, Lord. I'm just going to stay close to You. And I ask You, Father, if there's anything about me today that just doesn't... I mean, if I start to take too long a step, shorten it. If I get a thought that's going on, I'm going to walk so close in relationship with You today. You just show me and I'll change it. If anything comes into my mind or any action starts, any step that I would take, what would that be? Well, that would be living out holiness in the right way. Why would we be doing it? Because I love Him. I love Him so much, I want to do everything He wants me to do. But if we get back into the rules realm, can't do this, you can't do that, must do this, and you must do that. Now, what is sin? Everybody admits that sin would have something to do with being unholy, wouldn't it? Being unseparated. What is sin? Well, sin is transgression of Torah. Or violation of the Torah, the teaching and commandments of God, His instructions. But it's also something else, isn't it? Scripture also says that sin is to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it. Isn't that right? That's sin. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. And whatsoever is not of faith and trust is sin. So how do you keep out of it? Just walk with Yeshua. Just please Him. You see, when I first became a believer, I thought everything changed overnight. I mean, my old black heart just went whoosh, white and clean and pure. And man, I thought, if you'd have asked me at that time, I'm just doing everything just like Jesus does. But you know what? As I walked with Him, there were times He'd show me things that I wasn't doing like He was doing. He'd show me things that my mouth was saying that He never would have said. And He'd show me places that I was going that I shouldn't go. And He'd remind me to turn off certain programs that didn't glorify. Why? Because God wasn't in it. I said God wasn't in it. And so there's a difference there. But worldliness, getting away from worldliness, is making changes because of love. Making our changes because of love. What if you don't know everything the Word says? What if you're a new believer and you don't know everything the Word says, but you're just loving God? How are you standing? You're standing in pretty good stead, aren't you? But what happens after He shows you something? He shows you, now I'd like you to not do this anymore. Or I'd like you to start doing this. What happens then? Then you're responsible for it, aren't you? Then you become responsible for that. And that's what growth is. Growth is, you know, loving God so much that everything that's not like Him, we change. We make, not because it's a rule, but because we love Him. And see, I told you last week that I believe there's a place in love where the fullness of what it is to walk in Torah is going to come into a completion in us. You know, we've got to have this because this is our schoolmaster. We've got to read it and we've got to understand it. We've got to hide it in our hearts. But eventually the day is going to come when it's not going to be that I have to go back to this, because in my heart now is written this. And when I walk, the Holy Spirit makes life in me and I walk specifically in every area. I deal with every person. It means that I won't make a move. Even if I'm shopping and I think, well, I think I'll buy that. What's wrong with saying, check this out with you, Father. Should I buy this? That's starting to get into the nitty-gritty of where we live and being led by the Spirit. Will this tend toward me doing things that you're not in? I want to do everything that you are in, Father. Love not the world, the Bible says. Love not the world. There are those in the faith that don't know everything. Romans 14, we read that the other night. You remember, Bob, when we talked about that a little bit, that, you know, we get into arguments about whether you do this or whether you don't do that. But the Bible says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. And how should that happen? Well, as we bring, and that's what a primary reason of coming together, because we continue to expound on the Word of God and bring the Word of God out. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word and something you didn't even know before, all of a sudden, you say, oh, I didn't realize I'd been doing that. But I won't do it anymore, Father. I'll quit because Your Word has been quickened to me now and I have revelation. That's what we want. That doesn't preclude the fact that sometimes we might not confront. But let me caution you against this. If you've been saved for 40 years and walking with the Lord and you've grown up in the things of the Spirit, and somebody comes into the church that doesn't know a thing in the world, and you see stuff about them, you know, go slow in trying to change them overnight, because it's not going to happen. All you're going to do is discourage them. It doesn't mean they shouldn't change. It just means it's not your job. I said, it doesn't mean they're not going to change. It just means it's not your job, unless the Holy Spirit tells you specifically you need to deal with something. But there's a lot of us that try to change everybody with our own example. And you know, I've been walking in this for 40-some years now. Things have changed a little bit for me. I see some things that I never saw before. But God forbid that I should jump on you and make you feel condemned if you don't see everything that I see now. And so I tell you today, we're not teaching condemnation here. There is no condemnation in the teaching that I'm doing. And I charge you as your pastor not to minister in condemnation. Don't do that. It's not your job. Minister in love, encouragement. Bring people in. If you've grown up more than somebody else is and you know more than he is, you're responsible for more than he is, right? Isn't that right? But don't try to pull all 40 years of your teaching into him overnight. But encourage them. Encourage, admonish them. That's what the Bible calls it, admonishment. The Greek word is nutheteo, to admonish, to counsel one another. And there's a way to do that in a right way where we listen to God and we help one another grow up in the things of the Spirit by encouraging them to a life in the Word. Do you remember when the children of Israel came back out of captivity? They came out of captivity. Everybody look at Leah. Isn't she a beauty? Isn't she pretty? She's just such a sweet little thing. The children of Israel came back in captivity, and the Bible says that they read the Torah at one time. Men, women, children read the Torah at one, and they stood for it. And they read it. Well, nowadays, you know, we can't make it through three choruses, you know. I mean, to tell you, they stood up and there were everybody there. And they read the whole thing clear through. But something happened when they got to the end of it. Who remembers what happened? They said, oh, we didn't even know this was in there. No wonder God had to judge us and send us into captivity. No wonder we're still doing it. And they went into sackcloth and ashes and repented. They did teshuvah. And they changed their way. They turned around. Well, what did it? It wasn't some great preacher getting up and preaching sin. It was God's Torah, His lovely Word, teaching them. And they saw themselves in it and knew that they had failed. They knew the reason for their problems. So we need to encourage people. Let me just tell you this, and this is a statement you can remember. The Word works. Say that with me. The Word works. So likewise, Torah works, doesn't it? Torah works. It'll always work. You take God's teaching and instruction and apply it to an area of your life and you find out that you've been thinking wrong. It may be a poverty mentality. You may be thinking wrong about sickness and disease. I know people all over the world that say God uses sickness to teach them. Well, that's not in the Word of God. That's not in the Word of God. That's man's thinking about things. Will God teach you in sickness? Oh, yes. But does He use it? No. Sickness comes on us, and while we're sick, many times God teaches us. But God didn't break your arm so He could teach you something. God's not a child abuser. You wouldn't break your child's arm to teach him something, would you? That's the love of God in you. God doesn't make you poor to teach you something. No, He doesn't. It's our own wrong attitudes that keep us down. Zig Ziglar calls it the stinking thinking. That's what keeps us down, isn't it? Things that we think wrong will eventually become our words. And our words are the things that the Bible says where death and life are in the power of that tongue. What you say can either put you over or bury you. We need to learn that. I've found that many baby believers love God maybe more deeply in some ways than I am right now. People are just, that's the way I was when I first came to the truth, you know. I just loved God. And I didn't know much, but I loved Him. I loved Him. And the more I learn, you know, I have to make some changes. But don't, what I'm trying to tell you is don't condemn people because they don't know as much as you do at this point. So ungodly means what? To be ungodly means there's no God in it, right? No God. Yahweh's not in it. So let me ask you this. If God's not in it, should you be in it? You know, have you ever done this? You know, I've known people that do things like this. Say, well, Lord, I'm going to go do something right now. I know you don't approve of, but I'm going to do it, but I'll be back. Would you do that? No. We were talking about music groups today. There used to be a music group that played with Elvis Presley. And if I said the name of them, you'd probably know. I don't think it's profitable for me to say their name, but they were a well-known gospel singing group. And Elvis would have them open for him many times. And the statement came out of them. I remember that they said this after they traveled with them a while. They said, we're going places now where Jesus won't come. We're going into places now that Jesus won't come in with us. Now, is that worth it to you? Could you imagine saying that? How would you like to be in that place and die of a heart attack? I wouldn't like to be there, would you? I don't want to go someplace God isn't. If God's not in the television show I'm watching, I guess I don't want to watch it, do you? If God's not in the movie and in the Hollywood production, I don't care who made $1 billion out of it. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do that kind of thing. It's ungodly if there's no God in it. And if there's no God in it, we shouldn't be in it because it's godless. It's profane. What should we be doing? We get criticized for this. That's all you talk about is God. You people, that's all you talk about. You talk about God all the time. Well, what else are you going to talk about? In Him we live and move and have our being. It's His blood that we're celebrating right now, the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from all sin, the blood of Yeshua that separates us from darkness and evil. The first thing you think about in the morning should be Yahweh. Yeshua, I think about you all day long, right? It's the way we ought to be. Our life ought to be wrapped up in Him. That's what we should do. That's what we should think about. He's our God. His name is Yahweh. In James 4:4, I want to read another part of this. Describes it a little bit more. James 4:4. King James has adulterers and adulteresses. A lot of the translations just have adulteresses, and probably that's all right if it just says adulteresses, because actually, would that fit a man to be an adulteress? If you consider that we're all the bride of Messiah, it would fit us, wouldn't it? If we're the bride of Messiah, then it could just call us adulteresses. But it says, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. Now, see, first when we read that, we think only about those people that are physically committing adultery. But that's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about anyone that allows friendship with the world. You say, friendship? Well, I thought we could be friends with people. Well, it's talking a little deeper. It's the philo part of the Greek. Phileo, philo, the fondness, deep. It's love, but it's not the God kind of love. Talking about loving the world. Can you have friendship with an unbeliever? Of course you can. Can you have fellowship with an unbeliever? No. You can't. There's nothing to fellowship with, is there? But you can be a friend in a way of treating someone with kindness and courtesy, and you can love them with a God kind of love. But friendship with the world is a fondness for the world that takes precedence over God. And the Bible says that fondness of the world is enmity, or could be translated hatred of God. Now, that's a bad thought, isn't it? To hate God. So, in verse 5 it says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? It's talking about how we are. If we don't watch out, that's what will happen. We'll get to this spirit that's in us, especially the unregenerate spirit. Before it's born again, that's all it wants to do is lust after things. Now, I realize different translations put that differently, but I believe that's what it's talking about. But it says in verse 6, He gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You want to get away from worldliness? Resist. It's about choosing. It's about choices. We make choices. So we need to choose. Resist the devil. And submit yourself to God. Actually, that's the order it needs to come in. Submit yourself to God. That's a choice, right? And resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's what we need to do. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Does God command clean hands? Says here he does. We've talked about it a little bit. Does he require the Netilat Yadayim hand washing ceremony? Probably not. But is it all right? I think it's great. And tonight, when you come in for our Seder, as you come in the door, we're going to have a hand washing station set up, and we invite you to stop. We're not going to make it a part of the Haggadah and the telling tonight. So wash your hands as you come in. But the Bible says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. I believe that's talking about the hametz in your life. We talked about it earlier. Yeah, you can clean your cupboards and you can sweep with a feather if you want to. But this is where you really want to clean it out, isn't it? And every time you forego this week, every time you forego a piece of leavened bread or a bagel or a pancake or a waffle, every time you pick up a matzah this week, I want you to think about your heart. I want you to think about what you're doing with your heart. You'll have fun. Amen. You'll enjoy it. And you'll find interesting ways to use your matzah. Amen. It's a good way to do it. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's double-minded? Thinking that you can serve God and serve the world. Love God and love the world. You can't do it. There's a hatred there. We need to come to a place where we get warlike with what we allow. Keep it out of our lives. Cast it down. The ungodly people say, I don't know, you probably witnessed to some. I'm sure Jonathan has because, you know, he primarily is an evangelist. You probably had people say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about God. Have you had people tell you that? I haven't tell me that. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want God in my life. You know, that's the most dangerous place to be. Because God does not force Himself into anyone's life. And if you say that and continue to say it, I can guarantee one thing to you. It's called hell. You'll end up in destruction, perdition. There's no way to continue to say, I don't want God in my life and get away with it. If you continue to do it, it will happen just exactly the way you said it. It's a choice. It's a choice about what you do, what you say. Think about this. We're shown pictures of people that are like that in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. That's a choice. What's in the world? You choose the world, what's over there? What's in the world? Nothing but death. Nothing but destruction. That's not what we want. We don't want the world's way of doing things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the Messiah. So is there a danger for us? If Paul's saying this, he says, I fear lest by any means this serpent, Satan, could beguile us so that our minds be corrupted. Yes. That's why we need to keep feeding ourselves the Word. Need to keep looking at this. Now, if you've made mistakes in your past, we talked about it this morning, they're under the blood. They're forgiven. Praise God. They're not remembered anymore. But for the future, we need to make choices about loving God right now so we don't have to go through that pain again, don't we? We have to choose to love Him. We have to choose to do what He says and act like what He says. If you love God, you'll deny yourself, won't you? And that means what we've been saying, love does no harm. Love won't hurt at someone else. Love just won't do it. Love won't hurt people and love won't hurt God. Can you hurt God? Can you hurt God? Is God too big to be hurt? Well, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not. The Bible, He talks about being vexed. It hurts Him when His children don't honor Him. Yes, it hurts Him. He's our divine husband. You believe that? You know, I've heard men have a problem with that. I'm not a woman. I can't be a bride. Man, I don't want to be anyone but the bride. I'll be His bride. However I fit into that, I want to do that. Man, that's good. He's our husband. We're His bride. So what is backsliding then that we talked about? What is backsliding? When you go back, it's a spiritual affair. Say affair. It's an affair with something else, with the world. It's an affair. It is adultery. It is fornication. It's a terrible thing. If you look at 1 Corinthians 10:5, I'm going to read some scriptures to you that fill this thing out and help you to understand it. And that you'll see how love of the world is what's caused this thing. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." This is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples. Say examples. They were examples to us to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. What were they lusting after? Well, you could name some of the things they talked about, but typically it's the world, isn't it? They were lusting after the things of the world, the things that the world system had to offer. They even wanted to go back to Egypt so they could have garlic and cucumbers. Man. But he says, "Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Well, think about what happened with them in the wilderness. When Moses was up on the mountain was the first part of it, when they made the golden calf. 3,000 died in that day. What happened? The Bible says they rose up and sat down, rose up to play and sat down. What were they doing? That's talking about, and we don't see it because it doesn't make sense to us, especially when in a King James, but that sexual immorality was coming out of that very time. Fornication. But fornication covers more than just one kind of sexual sin, doesn't it? Fornication covers a wide range of things. And I can show you in Scripture what he says is all of this is about fornication. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." I'm in verse 27. I don't know if you're keeping up with me or not. It says, "Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." So what's it talking about? What's fornication include? Homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, bestiality. Anything, any sexual sin gets into fornication, doesn't it? And it's not all right. It's not all, I don't care what the newspaper says. I don't care what Congress says. It's not all right. If a man marries another man, is it all right? No. If a woman marries a woman, is it all right? They've got a certificate now. They're married. Is it all right? No. You can't change God's law with a man-made law. Is it all right for a man to take another man's wife? No. It's not all right. It's adultery. It's fornication. It's wrong. And the Bible says they'll be given over to do things with a reprobate mind. Things which are not convenient. Remember this. We say it all the time. The Lord our God is one God. Yahweh Echad. Amen? There's only one God and there's only one way to God. You believe that? Only one way. You say you're narrow. I'm also saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll be narrow and be saved. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to be those that do what God says. Did you know this country was not formed on freedom of religion? How many of you hear about freedom of religion, freedom of religion, freedom of religion? It was not formed on the freedom of religion. It was formed on the freedom to worship Yahweh God. Wasn't it? Look back. It wasn't formed so that men could come in here and serve Allah, Buddha. That wasn't the reason. They came here so they could worship Jehovah, worship Yahweh. That's what it was about. And we have to tell the truth about it. We got to preach the gospel and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Because this is what the world looks like. See if you want anything to do with it. Romans 1:29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Do you want anything to do with that? Can all of you see God's not in it? God's not in it. I don't want anything to do with it. And that, listen to me now. Think about our entertainers that make a living off of those things that we just talked about. They make a living off of that. Why do we continue to support people like that? You people that like movies, start looking for the movies that are made by Christians. You say, well, they don't have the same quality. Yeah, but they don't have the same nonsense either. Amen? And I'll tell you what, the more they make them, the more their quality will come along. Amen. These musicians that, you know, they get popular through the Word of God, but then they move off into other things. We don't want to support them. We don't need to support them. Our politicians, you ought to choose your politicians. You ought to vote for those people that will stand for what's right. Amen? You agree with that? You say, Pastor, you're not supposed to tell us how to vote. I'm going to tell you to vote today for God's way and God's men. You'll have to find out who they are yourself. But, you know, if somebody tells you they're going to kill babies and they're for it, that ought to be enough to let you know you don't want to vote for them. You say, is there ever a time when we don't vote? Yes, there could be. There could be a time you just wouldn't vote at all. Watch your friends, those people that you really get close to. You say, oh, I think I can help them. It just generally works the other way. What you allow in your house. Listen, if you don't love God, I don't want any part of you. Now, that sounds like I couldn't be an evangelist and say that, but how many of you know I don't mean that? I don't want any partnership with you. I don't want any partnership with you if you don't love God, because I love Him. And He's the center of my life, and that's the way I'm going to live the rest of my life, is in fellowship with Him. 1 Corinthians 16:22, Paul apparently said something similar. Listen to what he said. Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. What does that mean? Anathema. What's that mean? Do you know? Anybody know what anathema is? Well, before you tell anybody that they're anathema, you better find out what it means. It means cursed. Let him be accursed. Cursed from the things of God. If any man doesn't love our God, if he doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, if he doesn't love Yeshua, let him be accursed. Now, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to try to win them. We are supposed to try to win them. But if they won't hear, what's going to happen to them? There's no nice way to say it. They're going to Gehenna, aren't they? They will end up in the lake of fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels, and they'll spend eternity there if they don't love. And so really what this is saying is, if they don't love Him and won't change, let them go to... Because that's what's happening, right? You see it? Now, I didn't say it. Paul said it. In fact, what I'm reading to you today is not my words. It's God's words. I hope you can see that. I hope you can see that. If they don't love. The people who really, truly love and genuinely love God will be saved. You believe that? I mean, is it that simple? If you truly, genuinely love God, you will be saved. Somebody tells you, well, I don't believe in this that you're preaching, but I love God. No, they don't. They don't love Him. They can't love Him unless they love what He says. Believe His Word. You can't get into heaven by just saying, I love God. You've got to truly, genuinely love Him and keep His words. That's what he said. You've got to be born again. 1 Corinthians 10:14, this is the last scripture. I'm going to read through verse 23. I'm just going to read it to you, but listen to it now. Wherefore, and we could use the wherefore here today, because of everything else we've said today, because of this, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What's idolatry? Flee from idolatry. What say I then? That the idol is anything? I'm jumping from 14 to 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say to you, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Somebody said, well, it doesn't make any difference, you know, whether it's God or Allah. Do you know there's a difference between God and Allah? Between Yahweh and Allah? Did you know that? Well, no. I even heard the president say, they worship the same... No, he's wrong. Sorry, George, but you're wrong. Allah's not our God. And it tells you right here who others worship. He said, the idol's not anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is not anything, but that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Would I be wrong to say Allah is a devil? No, he's the devil. You can tell he is. There's no love in him. Is there? No, if a man steals, cut off his arm. Kill him. If he doesn't believe the way you do, just kill him. No, sorry. There's no love in that. It says, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would that you should not have fellowship with devils. Here's what I want you to see about loving the world or allowing yourself to have fellowship with the world. It's a spiritual thing. The 21st verse says, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do we provoke? What did you know that God's a jealous God? Do you know what that means? God's jealous? It doesn't mean he's got a green-eyed, oh boy, you better not look at my people. You know, like husbands are sometimes jealous of their wives. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. I was going to tell you her name, but one of the afternoon television hostesses made a statement that she just had to quit serving God or quit Christianity as such because she read that God is a jealous God. And that was it for her, and she went off into some kind of New Age nonsense now. So those of you that watch her, you probably have all figured out who she is. I would suggest you find something else to watch because God's not in it. God's not in it. What does jealous mean when it talks about God? It means he does not like to turn loose of that which is already his. That's what jealous means. That which is rightfully his. He's a jealous God. So we don't want to provoke him to jealousy. Verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me. That means, you know, we're not bound to just every do and don't, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. That which runs Yahweh out, you kick Yahweh out of your life, it's a devil thing. Did you ever question God at all about why 9/11 happened in this country? Have you ever thought about it and just wondered, now how could that be? We say we're a Christian nation, don't we? We're a Christian nation, and yet, you know, how could God, people say this all the time, how could God let that happen? You don't understand. That's right. That's right. What did we say? God is always, people used to say it this way, God's a gentleman. God does not force himself into people's lives that don't want him to. What have we done? We've said, we don't want the Ten Commandments in our schools. So what have we got in our schools now? Guns. We said, we don't want him in our courts. We don't want the Ten Commandments and the God's Word in our courts. We said, we don't want God's Word in our halls of Congress. Well, what have we done? We've pushed him out. Now, what can God do legally if we've pushed him out? Did he give us the right to do that? Yeah, I'm sorry, he did. God said, you have dominion in the earth to subdue it. And when man in the earth pushes God out, he is obligated to leave. And so it's not a matter, did God let it happen? It's what Bob said. We let it happen. We let it happen. And that which runs Yahweh out is fellowshipping with devils. Choose the love of God. You know what the love of God will do? It'll give you the grace to overcome. Amen? It'll give you the grace for victory. Just like we talked about today, no problem in our lives is too great when we give it over to God. whom we put ourselves in fellowship with Him. But don't love the world. So we've had three things now. Keep His word if you love Him. Love one another if you love Him. And if you love Him, don't love the world. God, I pray today that You'll make that real to every one of us. I ask You today, Father, that every person in this place have an understanding of what it means to not love the world, to not allow that love to dwell in us, to not allow ourselves to compromise and be assimilated into the things of the world. I pray today, Father, that You'll cause each one of us to become so selfless, so little about self and so much about You and about others. I pray for that in the name of Yeshua. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise God. I went longer than I intended to go. I'm sorry, but I pray it's all right, that God will quicken you and it'll mean something to you. Let's lift our hands and let the blessing of God come upon us. He said, I'll put My name on them. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you, get ready for it now, shalom. Hallelujah. Oh, man, Lord, I thank You that I feel that presence of Your shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.